How can we cultivate our understanding of all three persons of the Trinity? Well, here's Skip Heitzig to explain.
Let me encourage you from this day forward to cultivate a sense of the presence of all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life. And here's how you can start doing that. Whenever you, in your reading, come across any reference to either the Spirit or the Son or the Father, notice what it says about them. Notice the adjectives and what is expressed about them individually as well as together. And then pause and worship the Lord in that attribute that you have just discovered. For example, one of Paul's famous Trinitarian doxologies, I guess you could say, closing out the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, he writes, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." One thing we must avoid is this reductionist tendency to make it the Father only or Jesus only or the Holy Spirit only, as some like to do. It's all three.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
Do-it-yourself websites are the love of many crafty people. As you look at the fantastic furniture rebuilds or the magnificent cakes, you begin thinking that you need to do something like that yourself. Well, the funny flip side of all that do-it-yourselfing is the failure of thousands of projects from the many of us who aren't as talented. There's a difference between knowing the steps to complete a DIY project and the ability to actually complete one. Now, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig reminds us that it takes more than reading over the Bible to understand the Trinity. And we'll see why as he continues our latest Connection teaching series, The Biography of God. This encouraging series uses Scripture to unfold the mysteries and beauty of our great God. But before we get to that today, did you know there's an opportunity awaiting you to be part of reaching people from India to Belize with a message of the gospel today? That's right. When you join in as a global connector, you not only commit to a donation of $25 or more each month, you become part of getting the solid Bible teaching you enjoy to hundreds of unreached areas worldwide. Learn more and join in today at skipheitzig.com and click the Donate tab to begin. You know, sometimes it's not about the cup being half empty or half full. Sometimes it's about understanding all the parts of what's there. Learn more when you join Skip Heitzig for the conclusion of this teaching, Two-Thirds is Not Enough.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll be looking at John chapters 14 through 17 today as we begin. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app close by, I hope you'll turn there as we join Skip Heitzig.
Verse 23, chapter 16. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and because you have believed that I came forth from God. Let me encourage you from this day forward to cultivate a sense of the presence of all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life. And here's how you can start doing that. Whenever you, in your reading, come across any reference to either the Spirit or the Son or the Father, notice what it says about them. Notice the adjectives and what is expressed about them individually as well as together. And then pause and worship the Lord in that attribute that you have just discovered. For example, one of Paul's famous Trinitarian doxologies, I guess you could say, closing out the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, he writes, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." One thing we must avoid is this reductionist tendency to make it the Father only or Jesus only or the Holy Spirit only, as some like to do. It's all three. That's why we rightly sing, and I love when Nick again had us sing that 1674 hymn, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." That's cultivating a sense of His presence. Let's look more specifically at what this text is pointing us to, and that is how we pray. Now, basically what Jesus is saying is, look, you guys, I've been hanging around you for the last few years. I'm leaving. You can now come directly to the Father Himself, and when you come to the Father, come in My name. Pray in My name. Now, this was very different to these guys. In the Old Testament, nobody prayed in Jesus' name. I think you know that. They would simply address God as typically Adonai, and they would close their prayer by saying the word Amen. Amen. Which is where we get Amen. So be it. Right on. I agree. But Jesus says, and by the way, this is the third time in this message alone where Jesus says, you can come directly to the Father, not just, hey God, but Father in My name. John chapter 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in My name. John chapter 15, verse 16, all a part of this sermon. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give it to you. And now, hear again what we just read. Now, isn't that exactly what Jesus taught His disciples to pray? When He said, and when you pray, pray like this, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit. I don't think if you were to begin your prayer, "Dear Jesus," God would get mad at you. No, you can't do that. Or that if you were to even pray to the Holy Spirit, because all three persons are the one God, though distinct persons. But I do think it's best to follow Jesus' teaching. That's why when I pray, I don't say, "Hey God," or Yahweh, or Jehovah, or God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I call Him what Jesus told me to call Him, Father. That's relational. A lot more relational than God. I can call Him Father because Jesus told me. And when I'm done with my prayer, I don't say, "And I pray this in the name of the Holy Spirit," or "in Yahweh's name," or "in your name." But I say, "Father," I utter my prayer and always close in Jesus' name. That's how I'm instructed. And I believe that the prayer that God directs is the prayer that God expects. And I think that's the prayer that God will bless as well. And what does that mean to pray in Jesus' name? I'll tell you what some people think it means. Some people think it's their magic ticket. You can ask God for whatever suits your own fancy as long as you tack on the end of it in Jesus' name, and especially if you emphasize "in Jesus' name" like they do on television. Well, that's going to really go over. God's going to go, "Oh yeah. Okay, you got it now. I wasn't going to give it to you, but you got it." Doesn't mean that. Nor is in Jesus' name a sign that we're done now praying. Okay, over and out, in Jesus' name. I'm stopping now. This is it, till later. It means way more than that. The idea of in Jesus' name is in Jesus' reputation or by his merit. In other words, you're not standing before God in your name. God, it's me. You know me. I'm coming to you in my own name. Don't do that. And if you think you can say, I'm coming to you, God, in Skip's name, unless you want to give God a good laugh, I suggest you don't do that. You come in Jesus' name. Because you can only have access to God as your Father because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, his merit, his reputation. Look, if you wanted to have a conversation with like the Prime Minister of England, and you were to say, I'm coming to you in my name, or my buddy Frank, you won't get an audience. But if you could show by documentation that you come in the name of the President of the United States or the Ambassador to England or some office and some representative who has a name in the government, chances are you could get an audience in Jesus' name. Now, you may have noticed something in what we just read. When Jesus tells his disciples about prayer, he mentions the Father. He mentions himself, the Son. There is no mention of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Where's the Holy Spirit? How come he's not involved in my communication to God? Well, here's why. Jesus described the Holy Spirit in chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. He says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will not speak of himself or his own authority. He will glorify me. He's going to point people to me. He's the silent witness, not making anything about himself, but pointing all the attention, Jesus said to me. He's going to glorify me. So here's Jesus the Son pointing you to God the Father as your Father, and now you have the Holy Spirit glorifying the Son and making it all about the Son. That does not mean the Holy Spirit, however, is not involved when we pray. In fact, let me just say definitively, the Holy Spirit is the most effective part of our prayer to God in Jesus' name. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit is the most effective part of my communication to the Father in Jesus' name. Listen to this text. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we ought to pray for. Have you found that to be true? I pray a lot. I don't know what the right answer ought to be or exactly what I should be praying for. So the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, again, you might think, I have no idea what that means. Well, it can be one of two things. It's either the Holy Spirit's groans to the Father, some kind of inner Trinitarian communication, so that when you pray, and the Holy Spirit kicks in, and he prays directly to the Father, according to the will of the Father. Here's an example. I pray, Lord, I need a new computer. The Holy Spirit says, Father, cancel that out. He doesn't need a new computer. All he really needs is to get it fixed, or whatever. And that's a little crass, earthy example, but it could mean that. This is the Holy Spirit's interceding the Father on my behalf. Or it could mean when I groan or I cry or my supplications could refer to one of those two. In fact, one Bible translation, the New English Bible, renders it this way. Through our inarticulate groans, the Holy Spirit is pleading. And that could be a reference to 1 Corinthians 14, a beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, whereby bypassing the intellect, we're able to speak directly to the Father from the heart to his heart. So, all three do work. All three deserve worship. And they're involved in our communication of praise and worship and prayer. And finally, all three demonstrate oneness. Please go to chapter 17, John 17. Now, right now, as you're turning, you're noticing that the words are still red, but this is a different chapter. In chapter 17, Jesus is not addressing his disciples like he was in the previous four chapters. He here is addressing his Father. This is the Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer. The Lord is praying to his Father. And look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, that is his disciples at the time, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's that? Us. We're on Jesus' prayer list. He's praying about us. That they, notice this, may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Maybe you've read that before and you think, I don't quite get all this you and me and them and us, and what is that all about? And now I want to clarify it. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their love for each other and how they get along together is a template for the way you and I ought to relate to one another. That's what this means. In short, why is it that Christian community, Christian fellowship, Christian friendship, Christian forgiveness ought to flow and be enjoyed? Because it exists between the Father and the Son, and implied here also the Holy Spirit. In fact, it could be said the very purpose God created people was for this reason. See, in the very beginning and for eternity past, there was a family set up, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they loved and enjoyed and were enriched by that fellowship. But God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. At some point, God decided to make us to expand upon what was already enjoyed between the Trinity. That's why we were made. We could follow him and enjoy that. So notice Jesus is praying for relational unity between us as people to emulate the same kind of relational unity that exists in the Trinity. Now, to me, this is all important. This is ultimately important and ultimately practical. This is what it tells me. The ultimate basis for Christian community, and I know that term is tossed everywhere these days, community. The ultimate basis and foundation of Christian community is not humanity. Well, it's because we need, and it's because we're alike. The ultimate basis for community is not humanity, it's Trinity. It's Trinity. And in very practical terms, this is what it means. The ultimate reason for families to stay together and to look at each other eyeball to eyeball and say, I love you, I forgive you, I'll stay with you, and we'll keep our family together, isn't because of some legal agreement or some kind of document enforced by the state or by the church, but it's because of Trinitarian love. I and you and me and us and them, that they may be one as we are one. That's what Jesus is praying. Let's take it to the church. Church splits are sinful and wrong, not just because it hurts church members, but because it violates the unity of the body of Christ, which in turn violates the unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the whole reason we should love each other, forgive each other, be kind to each other, mend relationships with each other, is because of the Trinity. Now that takes relationships to the ultimate level, does it not? It's the ultimate level. It's the highest level. Because it exists between the Godhead. That's why Jesus said, this is the way the world is going to know that you sent me. This is the way the world is ever going to believe anything they ever say about me is because they're like this. They do this with each other. I heard about a man who visited his friend in a mental institution. Now, his friend wasn't in the mental institution. He was one of the guards guarding the patients of the mental institution, the hospital. And this visitor noticed that his friend, the guard, oversaw and guarded 100 patients alone. So his friend, in observing this, said, "Aren't you ever scared that they're going to like get their heads together and attack you and escape?" And his friend put his arms behind his head, very relaxed, feet up on the desk. He said, "Listen, the whole reason they're here is because of their inability to get their heads together and work cooperatively together." It's very, very suggestive what I'm saying. You see, to try to represent God, the Father, Jesus Christ, to the world without unity is insanity. They'll see right through it. The world sees Christians fighting each other, telling them about Jesus. They're going to tune us off like, "Look, I can get this on a soap opera. I don't need to come to church." This is ultimate in relationship. They enjoy unity, thus we should as well. Well, let me close by saying this. One thing we must all guard against is resisting the work of the triune God in our lives. Could it be that right now, this morning, some are being convicted by the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with Christ and make him Lord and Savior? Could it be that God the Father sent God the Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins, and God the Holy Spirit has been telling you for a long time, "I want you. I've chosen you. You need me. Come to my Son. Pray for forgiveness." And you've been resisting that. Notice that the reason God is doing that in your life is because he wants you part of that circle, part of that expansion of what the Father, Son, and Spirit enjoyed in eternity past to you and I enjoy with him, with them, in this unity. What a thought. What a lovely thought. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful that because of Jesus' death on the cross and instruction here, that we don't have to, with fear and trepidation, talk to you as anything but our Father. And it's because of what the Son did, and it's because the Holy Spirit drew us to him. And now we understand and can enjoy the work of all three and worship all three. And may we, Lord, now be one as all three. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, God is inviting you to join his family. And I hope you'll take time to use the helpful tools we've put together for you at skipheitzig.com to learn more about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Well, this is The Connection with Skip Heitzig, and the message you just heard was the conclusion of a teaching called Two Thirds is Not Enough. It's part of our latest Connection teaching series, The Biography of God. If you'd like to add this series to your personal audio library, you can order the audio CD package for only $62. And we do have today's teaching available as an individual audio CD as well. You can learn more and order today from skipheitzig.com or when you call us, 1-800-922-1888. And there's always time for one more vacation, right? Especially if it's going to build up your spiritual life. And here's more.
Ah, the Mediterranean. Deep blue waters, cool ocean breezes, the cities of Turkey, Rome, and Israel. Haven't you always wanted to explore them? Now you can for the low, low price of $25. The Connection is offering a 3-DVD resource package that will transport you across the Atlantic and back in history to the time of Christ and the early church. Take a deeper look at Israel's history in the documentary Learning from the Land, which also features over 4 hours of teaching and interviews with Pastor Skip Heitzig. Then, sail around the Mediterranean and Adriatic with Pastor Skip in the DVD, The Road to Rome. Finally, end your at-home vacation by exploring the hidden treasures of ancient Jerusalem in the Underground Jerusalem documentary. The Connection is offering this 3-DVD package to you for just $25. Order today when you visit skipheitzig.com. or call 1-800-922-1888.
You know about the Skip Heitzig Roku channel? You can add it today to get live streaming of all services and dig into the 2000 teachings in the archive. Learn more about it today at skipheitzig.com/Roku.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
What do evil and suffering have to do with God? We'll find out when we join Skip Heitzig Monday for the teaching, The Dark Side of God. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.